This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. Shortly after Normal City Manager Pam Reese took over from the retiring Mark Peterson, another person in a key position announced his retirement from the town. GLT's Charlie Schlenker talks with Reese about City Engineer Gene Brown and the hole that creates in the town operation.
Actually, Gene's announcement was my first day on the job.
Congratulations.
He came into my office. Exactly. But certainly appreciated his conversation that I had with him. And he had given me a heads up a couple months back to let me know that he was considering retirement. So I knew it was going to be on the horizon. In terms of Gene's position, he's got an amazing institutional knowledge of the organization, because as city engineer, he's been involved in nearly every capital project that we've undertaken. Every street project, every road improvement project, I should say, trail extension, utility improvements, utility meaning water and sewer improvements, stormwater, detention basins, nearly everything that many people don't often think about, but is out there, projects where we invest our capital dollars. Gene has either been personally involved through a bidding process or a plan preparation process, or just an advisor as we go through those processes.
So what's the timeline for filling the position?
We have the city engineer position posted right now. We are seeking applications through about the later end of May. I think it's the third week of May we're seeking applications. And then we'll take some time to vet those applications, see if anybody rises to the top, and bring individuals in for an interview. I would assume that it will probably have someone on board mid to late summer.
Of course, you're going to lose that institutional memory, but it's an opportunity to reconsider the position. What will be important in that job going forward?
Similar skill sets, of course, in terms of working with contractors, working with outside developers and engineering consultants will be incredibly important in building those relationships. And then, of course, working with staff, working with me and the administrative team and the city council to evaluate our capital improvement needs for the future, assessing streets and leading staff to be able to do that.
Is there anybody from within?
We have some senior project engineers. I haven't yet had an opportunity to speak with them to find out if either are interested. They both have similar tenure on the job, and they're both very skilled civil engineers. I think they enjoy what they're doing right now rather than taking a more administrative role, but we'll see. They could be applicants.
There is still no restaurant in One Uptown. Any prospects of one?
Well, it's been about a month or so since I've spoken with the developer, Doug Reichel. At that time, he was still making contact with restaurateurs to gauge interest in moving into that space. I haven't heard anything recently from him on any success in signing anyone. As I understand it, some of the challenges are associated with the build-out of the space. It's beautiful space. It's an envelope right now, so to speak, and it would need to be finished. And to finish that space out with an appropriate kitchen and such would be probably $1.5 to $2 million. And from a restaurateur's perspective, I'm told that sort of initial capital investment is very difficult. But I think Doug Reichel and his team are continuing to seek out restaurateurs.
At what point does the lack of a restaurant become a violation of the development agreement?
That's a good question. I don't have the details of that agreement to memory, but I would have to check and explore that.
Is the town getting impatient about that, or is there still a while to go on that clock?
I believe there's some time to go on the clock, but I think more from a just an overall uptown energy perspective, we're very eager to get some action in that space.
Update us on the Trail East program, would you?
Sure. Staff is meeting with Bush Construction, which is the construction firm, the development company that council selected. And we're talking to Bush Construction biweekly now to talk them through the process of design concepts and such, and we anticipate having a design concept prepared to go to council in June to get city council reaction. Bush Construction is using the Farnsworth Group as their architect and engineering team, and so they're making progress in evaluating a footprint for the building and overall design scope.
Well, if you're that close to bringing it to council for a look-see, are those other buildings on the edge of that area going to be torn down? Are they trending that way or not?
Well, you're referring to the buildings along East Beaufort, and specifically 104, 106, and 108 East Beaufort have been the properties that have been under consideration. Right now, Bush is evaluating, along with the Farnsworth team, if those buildings can be saved, what would it take? And what would be the investment required to save those buildings? And if not, why not? And so they're preparing that story, and that's what we will discuss with council in June.
Which way are they trending?
I've seen a couple of design concepts that are footprints, but I think they're still working out the details, so I don't have any information to share at this point.
Regardless of whether the buildings are torn down, the mural would be covered up and or destroyed, depending. What's the latest on the mural and the efforts to either move it, preserve it, do something with it?
Well, that too is a good question, Charlie. We have been discussing the mural and why the mural is of such interest. If one looked at the mural today, they would see that the paint is chipping off and it would need some attention regardless of what happens with the building. And so in discussions with staff and some of the citizens about the future of the mural, we've talked more along the lines of what is attractive about the mural. And it's something that brings a sense of space, a sense of place, kind of a meeting spot for individuals. And if the mural is gone in the future, I think it'd be incumbent on us to find some sort of replacement type of experience for citizens. And so, you know, what can we do to present a sense of interest and a sense of energy for citizens to go to? And if the mural is replaced with public art, maybe that's an option. Something that brings the same sense of uniqueness and energy is what we need if the mural is gone.
I'm hearing there's not a lot of appetite from the town to preserve that.
I can only speak on behalf of staff at this point. The council has not had a public discussion, but I think when we've looked at the future of 104 East Beaufort, which is the building that contains the mural, we're a little bit concerned about what would be required if that specific building was intended to be redeveloped or reused. The building as it stands right now would require, we believe, a minimum of $300,000 investment just to bring it up to code. And so that would be a significant investment on a building. And then, of course, the future of the mural in terms of its current state, we would have to figure out how, you know, what to do with that anyway.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker with Pam Reese, the city manager for the town of Normal. The village of Deerfield recently passed an assault-style weapon ban. You're not even allowed to possess it, and there's a $1,000 a day fine for having such a firearm in the city limits of the village of Deerfield. What's your view on the advisability of that kind of ordinance?
I'm not familiar with Deerfield's ordinance, but based on the information, my first reaction would be a concern on how it would be enforced. How does one know? Is it based on a complaint basis that it's enforced or such? So I think there, from administratively, it would raise some concerns.
Are such municipal level ordinances even good policy in the larger context where people just 6 inches on the other side of the border can have them?
That certainly, you know, I'm not sure, Charlie. I think that would be a topic that would be a much broader discussion than just staff. I think that would be a discussion with our sister city, with the county, with leadership from all those entities to find out what we think would make sense for our community. And again, I think administratively, that sort of ordinance raises significant concerns from an enforcement standpoint.
The town's been noodling an effort to begin a multifamily residential recycling program. Where stands that?
We're in the stage right now where the issue came up as a result of our budget cuts, where we've eliminated the Dropbox recycling program. And four of those sites remain because the private sector vendor has decided to take those on. But in the meantime, we've been trying to figure out a solution to providing recycling services to those individuals that don't live in single-family properties. And so right now we're having conversations with stakeholder groups to gauge from them on what would make sense from a multifamily property tenant's perspective as well as a property manager's perspective, and then see if we can draft an ordinance that is reasonable and meets their needs while still providing a way for individuals, again, who don't live in single-family homes to have access to recycling. So those are interesting discussions. And from my perspective, I like to simplify things. And I think, well, how complicated can it be to provide recycling at a multifamily property? And it's been more complicated than I think, or than I expected, simply because of the commitments that multifamily property owners make and managers make to their tenants. Access to parking spaces and such. So it's been a very good conversation, and we believe we will be in a position to recommend to the city in July or August a multifamily recycling ordinance.
How expensive will that be?
Well,
for the town to implement?
For the town, it would be some administrative time in terms of staff oversight. The cost would be between the tenant and the property owner because the service would be provided by the private haulers.
What sort of vendors are there for that?
All the typical waste haulers that pick up trash and take it to the landfill also provide curbside options. So they would have dumpsters or garbage carts specifically for recycling, and then they bring those recycled materials to the same venue where we bring ours and for sorting and processing. So the private sector haulers are capable of doing that.
There are two schools of thought, the town of Normal being heavy on, of course, student tenancy, that students don't care. They're just going to dump their regular garbage in the area for recycling. Or students are younger. They're going to care about this more, and observance of separation is going to be not bad. What's the thinking on that in the focus group talks?
I think the belief is that like any neighborhood, everyone's different. And so we have a representative from the Student Government Association that's part of our committee in discussing this and is very eager to make sure the service is provided and supports the option for students to be able to have recycling at their off-campus housing. But we're also including conversations at the table with representatives from areas that aren't typically student housing. You know, we have a lot of multifamily properties that where tenants are families with young children or single parent families with maybe older children or young professionals. So there's a very broad spectrum of individuals that live in multiple family housing. And from staff in the town's perspective, we want to make sure that the service is available so that they can support recycling.
Is there an education component if the town council decides to go ahead and go forward with such a measure that the town would have the onus to provide?
Yes, I believe so. I think we would need to work with the Ecology Action Center, with private haulers, and with multiple family property management to make sure that people understand what should be recycled, what happens when things are contaminated, when individuals put their trash in the recycling cart, what happens. So I think education is going to be an important component of it. And I do believe that we've got great resources in the Ecology Action Center. They're going to be primed and ready to assist us with that.
That's going to be, at least in the students' case, an annual effort. Does the Ecology Action Center have the capacity to do that right now?
I think so. I think in partnership with the town and with stakeholder groups, the private haulers who also want this to be successful. They don't want to bring contaminated materials to the recycling site. So I think in partnership we can be successful. In terms of the student changeover year after year, that's not unlike many other ordinances that we have in town, where it does take some education of students who might live off campus for the first time in terms of expectations or what's available to them in terms of town services. So we would incorporate that with many of our materials.
Pam Reese is the city manager of the town of Normal. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.
The mayors of Bloomington and Normal join us on Sound Ideas the day after council meeting. This week included a fifth Monday during the month, so there was no council meeting. Next week, you'll hear from Town Mayor Chris Koos. This is Sound Ideas on 89.1 FM, GLT, and WGLT.org, Bloomington Normal's public media.